Hello, and welcome to Women with AI. It is my immense pleasure today to welcome a fractional marketer to the show who's passionate about building and growing strong brands and starting to look into how AI is changing the way we all work. But before we jump into the podcast for our chat and what she's learning about AI, let me tell you a little bit more about her. Anna Mountford is the founder of Green Wall Marketing. She's a digital marketing specialist with over 20 years' experience within the telecoms, finance, energy, and software as a service sectors. Putting customer experience first whilst being aware of business needs, Anna is fantastic at producing effective, successful and tailored marketing. She's also the founder of The Bath Cellar, selling award-winning champagne and wine from around the globe, direct to customers, businesses and corporates. And, full disclosure, we went to art college together in Bath and have known each other for well over 20 years. She's one of my very best friends, so I imagine today's podcast will be more like two old pals having a natter about what we think AI is, rather than offering any expert insight. Unless it's from Anna, talking about what she does at Green Wall Marketing. So without much further ado, Anna Mountford, welcome to Women with AI.
Thank you, Jo, and what a great intro. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's fantastic to have you here with all your plants behind you. I love that, Green Wall. But anyone that hasn't known you for as long as I have, maybe you can give us a quick introduction to what you do and what you know about AI.
Yeah, and I would just like to say that it is a great pleasure to be able to talk to someone that you've known longer than you haven't known them. And I think it is. So between us both, we've known each other, as Jo said, for ages. And as women in business, we've seen each other's careers flourish and grow and, you know, take off and go down different avenues, which I think leads us nicely into AI and where we both are in marketing as we are at the moment. Green Wall Marketing was founded probably only earlier this year. It was sort of a passion that I decided to do, that actually going into fractional marketing means I get to dabble in loads more different industries and loads more different sort of variants. So I work with companies, as Jo says, from SaaS through to telco, through to banking and finance. And I've been lucky enough in my career now to be able to look at all those different verticals that you have within business and be able to effectively market products and services through them.
Fantastic. I mean, I'm in awe of you and what you've done and
how
you've set this up.
I think that
it's fantastic. And we were just talking earlier, weren't we, about the name Green Wall Marketing, and you'd had come up with loads of other ones, and then it's just
for those that are listening on podcasts rather than viewing it online, so you can check it out on LinkedIn. You can find me there. But behind me sits a wall of green, which I cultivated during the pandemic, funny enough, because as we all know, it was quite a miserable time for us all. And so if we remember the 1 hour a day we were allowed outside to see some greenery and experience some fresh air, I decided to bring the outside in. So it's been growing in both senses for a long time, and to call the company Green Wall Marketing just was a really nice fit. You know, my brand and myself were very much into sustainability and tailoring marketing, you know, to different approaches, so it was just a nice fit in the end.
And we just started talking about AI, didn't we, the other day. It was just on a random phone call conversation, because you'd been to, what is it, you go to like marketing meetups in Bath. And was there one on AI? Is that what?
I do. So I do a lot of networking. I find when you work at home and working on your own, networking is obviously one of the key places, one where I get to meet contacts for business, but also because you get social interaction and knowledge sharing that you have. So I'd been to one in my local marketing group called the Marketers of Bath, and there was a presentation on it from a great company, who were talking about AI and the journey AI specifically has on marketing, which I suppose I'd known quite a lot about, but to hear it put out onto like a slide presentation was actually quite interesting, because you think you sort of move in your own bubble, but actually there's so many people out there that are also learning and are at different lengths of or journeys in their learning on AI. So some people are very fearful of it, and then there's some people that are, I would guess, super knowledgeable on it. And the different types of avenues marketing and AI will lead together into the future, I suppose. Does that make sense?
What? Yeah. where do you sit and all that? Are you well, using it? Are you scared of it? Do you know, it's the whole, oh, it's going to take our jobs, or?
Yeah, I use it. I use it every day, all the time, just to structure technical blogs, to structure technical content. I think what you can't take away from is the human impact that you have then on that content and copy. But it's great for talking about highly technical things, which I do talk about a lot of highly technical software packages and things like that, that I don't necessarily know a huge amount on. So I would say I'm probably, so they produce this sort of timeline about those people that are fresh and new and don't really use it at all, to those people that I suppose are the developers and the heavy users and the constructors and the makers of AI, so they know it. So I would probably say I sit somewhere in the middle. But when I think about digital and technology just in general, like, people always say to me, oh, you must be such an expert in things. And it happened even 20 years ago when we were all coming across digital for the first time, and when we got our first mobile phones. And I think, Joe, you had yours before mine, the good old, wasn't it a classic 8210 or?
Oh my God, don't you remember? We both had the phones from the Brit. When you worked there, we had like numbers that were just one different.
Yeah, one digit different phone numbers. But even back then, people were like, oh, you must be like an expert. But I truly believe that digital and marketing and technology move so fast at such a rapid pace that can anybody really call themselves an expert when everything's moving and transitioning so quickly? So currently at the moment, looking at someone else's view, I'm probably mid in my journey of AI related knowledge, but I mean, there's still so much to learn. And then when you get to the end, there is no end, because then that evolves into something even more creative and, you know, aspirational in terms of what will be the next technology. And, you know, from phones, then we move to like having internet on the phones, and then, oh my God, doing a video call on phones. You know, that was all like so intrusive. I'm going to turn the camera off. Yeah. And then, and it was just.
Now that, I think it's weird. Like, if I speak to my mum and dad and they haven't got the, I'm like, yeah. Why haven't you FaceTime me? I want to see see you.
Do you remember being like this? And you know, I don't want them to see it's inside my house. Yeah. And it's just, I think it's just the natural progression of like technology and where it will bring and where it will be. So it is absolutely fascinating in terms of where marketing will stand in terms of AI. And I did pose a question when I was there. I was like, where do you see the role of marketing within a company from a commercial perspective being in 5 years' time? Because say copywriters or content creators, potentially with AI churning so much content and copy out at such high speed, will we just become the orchestrators or the manipulators of an AI tool in order to get the best out of it, rather than sitting there and for lengthy times and, you know, writing reams of copy that used to take days? And it's the same for imagery as well. I mean, there'll be a time, I should think, not very far away, if it's not been done already, where you could create in 2 hours hundreds of individual created assets that are personalized in a heartbeat for every single member of the audience that you're looking at. And then where does that leave creative people in that stream of AI and marketing? I think there will always be that very top level of thought leaders and thinkers of that creativity, but maybe the roles will merge further down from those thought leaders. It's a crazy thought to think where we'll be. And, you know, AI is evolving so rapidly that.
Yeah. I think I was talking to someone yesterday, and they're like, sometimes even the people that are developing it or inventing it don't know how it's doing it, or don't know what it's doing.
No.
And where it's going to go. And it is changing everything. And it's kind of, it's here to stay. There's no point being scared of it. You've got to embrace it. And you're right, it's changing those jobs, and it's going to change how we do marketing. But it's not about taking the jobs, it's just having to change. So
yeah, it's adapting, you know, and using it.
You've got the tools to do it, so you need to learn how to use the tools and how to ask the right prompts, or how to, it's doing. And then it sort of, that's the bit that I keep sort of coming across to thinking about, is, well, how are we shaping it? Are we making sure that it's doing what we want to do, because it's not a he or she, it's a thing, it's a tool, and it's only learning from what we put into it. Because the other day, I used ChatGPT, and as you say, like putting it in and helping to structure things or do whatever, and you know that it could hallucinate. I asked it to do a something about me, and it just made it up, and I was like, well, obviously that's not true. But you know, you kind of have
but
to.
But it could be.
Exactly. It could. Well, that's the thing. If I leave it there, then that becomes true because it's there. Whereas, you know, you have to go back and go, well, no, that isn't right. It's this. But that's the thing. I don't know. Are people, when you use it, if it gets anything wrong, like, because it has like the thumbs up, thumbs down, doesn't it? Or you can say, do it again. Or I've started saying, go back. You know, that's not quite right. Can you do it more like this or that? I don't know. It's weird because we're teaching it, but what are we teaching it and who's teaching it?
It is true. It's a bit like that it's fulfilling the prophecy, you know, of what we want to put in it. I mean, I remember when many years ago there was only really Wikipedia. Do you remember?
Yeah. Ask Jeeves or something.
And like it we relied on other people to input the content, and people would, you know, you obviously had to be a specific Wikipedia author, I think, at the time, but people would overwrite other people's writing. Yeah. So then how would you ever know what is correct? Yeah. What is the truth? Do you remember? I mean, we're talking, I don't know, like it was like the first ever real like experience I'd ever had in a working environment where people were using, it was used a lot by the tech people that were talking amongst themselves about tech solutions and, you know, guides and tools and things like that. And overwriting each other's stuff, saying, no, this is correct, this is correct. And then it becomes almost like a beast that what is the single voice of truth in that way. It's crazy. But AI, as you say, getting back to that, you know, what is true? And
if you build it, they will come. If you write it, does it become true? You know, and you're getting,
and you know, we talked a bit about, I think, didn't we, like gender stereotypes on it, and like
that just drives me mad. The whole, if you put in a CV, a male CV, and it will, you know, give you all these like opportunities or things you could do, and if you put in the same CV but it's got a woman's name instead, you're going to get a whole load of sort of different suggestions. Or it was, what was it, I mentioned it before on one of the other episodes, it was doing someone's review at the end of the year, and it's like, if you put in, oh, John has done all this, everything, you know, that someone's done, like, oh yeah, John's amazing, he's done all this, you know, he should get a pay rise, and you put it in and you say it's Jane. And it's like, oh, well, she's just about, you know, done what she needed to. I don't know. It's just that vision it's got, because all the data that's being fed into it up to now, it kind of is skewed, because, you know, if you've got more men doing a certain role than you have women, then that's what the AI thinks is normal, because it's just learning, you know.
I mean, that comes from, I suppose, from a societal shift, though, doesn't it? I mean, if I look, I've always worked in and around the sort of IT industry, which is why I guess maybe I've become so naturally orientated towards IT businesses, but like predominantly they're a male dominated industry. So those early adopters of some of this software will all have potentially been male. And I don't know, and I wouldn't like to say like who it is that creates the back end AI, you know, who creates those servers or those big data that's sitting in the back, but I would hazard a guess that the majority of them would be male.
I think that, and that's what we need to get women into tech and keep them there, so that it is equally balanced. You know, you've got, it's not just, you know, it's not like the father of AI, it's like the mother of AI. You need like both to be like feeding into it.
You know, there's a wider societal issue though. I mean, I've got a 13-year-old daughter who is very bright and very clever, and you know, try and get her to do any sort of coding or any sort of technical stuff is nigh on impossible, because everything that's been shoved at her through, you know, her social media, through her iPad, through her whatever she's using, her phone, is all targeted at women having this uber filtered life where she needs to follow fashion and get herself a proper filter, you know, on her beautiful young skin, you know, where I'm like, gosh, you don't need it, you're 13 years old. But you know, stunning. You see that people in the world that you actually, but then we were the same, you know. I get this is a not a sudden issue. We were brought up in the 90s when we had the anorexic skeletal models Kate must be, we all had to try and bend ourselves into the will, and if you didn't conform then you just felt terrible about yourself the whole time.
Those long hipster jeans,
yeah.
Little spaghetti strap vests.
Yeah,
I mean it is, and that maybe that is just part of growing up, but then is it just part of growing up because we let it and because that's what happens? And because you know my nieces are 11 and 8 and I just worry, like, you know, 11-year-old's about to start big school and it's just all that pressure. It's just, you know, it's all going to change and they're, you know, going to go from being carefree to a young woman, and how to navigate that. I mean, how have you navigated being in a male dominated environment? Like because I think back to the early days when we both started our career, you wouldn't get tough. The sort of comments and things that, that happened then.
No, you wouldn't. And actually, I would say that there has been a shift in those types. Maybe it's because I'm getting older, but there's been a shift in those types of comments and inappropriate behaviour. I think in the past 10 years, there has been a shift. But just generally, I think that being in the IT industry, and I looked young for my age as well. We both did back then.
We both still do, Anna. I'm sure we've only known each other for 10 years.
I still get ID'd. I don't really. But, you know, I think I was always considered too young to be in the industry, so was treated quite unfairly in some circumstances, in some businesses. But I had, and I was very fortunate to have a couple of really, really good managers and bosses that saw the talent in me.
Were they male or female bosses?
They were male.
Good.
Yeah, and pushed me forward, and I genuinely don't think I'd be where I am today with the knowledge that I have if it wasn't for them, always wanting to do better, and you know, even correcting me, you know, in terms of my language, because I think as women we are much more passive in our language and we're not as aggressive in the tone. So, you know, I remember an incident when I was a PA and I'd speaking to my male boss, who was one of my very good mentors. And I'd say, I'd be apologetic that I was calling him. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's only me. I'm just calling because I need to speak to you about this meeting I've got to book. Bearing in mind, I was 20, so very, very young. And he would just turn around to me repeatedly and say, "You never need to say it's only you. It's never just only you. You just say it's you."
Yeah, that's amazing advice. That's what we need to kind of instill in all these.
It is. It really is.
Young girls,
And you know, it was a very male dominated environment, but and always has been. I mean, as is, I suppose, quite a lot of the sort of digital sphere in even in major industries like finance. There's still, I think, it's still quite a boys' club in terms of the way that, you know, it's represented. Marketing, I think, is different. Marketing in its own entities, and usually they tend to run on two different types of group functions, but marketing is much more women heavy in the lower ranks, I should say. But to aspire to get higher up is incredibly difficult, and then with the juggle of, you know, gosh, if I have a child, will that be detrimental to my career? Because, you know, suddenly if your child is sick, you have to leave.
And that does fall to the mum, doesn't it? Rather, you know, just
still sadly
stereotypically that is what happens. But
being in a male dominated world is interesting, but it's not. I've had some female bosses that have been equally terrible, so you know, it's not specific to male in itself, but it's tough.
Yeah, it's like having the right person for the job, isn't it? But it's, you know, everyone has different strengths, and some people do like doing something more than another. But it's just being allowed to. That's the thing. It shouldn't be that, you're a woman, so you can't work in tech, or you can't do this, or you shouldn't be at that level. That's,
I mean, you in your career, you step changed, didn't you? You went from quite a sales orientated background, and then you studied marketing sort of midway through and almost did like a U-turn in your career, didn't you? Which was amazing to witness, because you suddenly almost like, this is what I want to do, this is where I know I need to be, and you just did it, which was just amazing.
Oh,
I just fell into mine. I'll be honest, there was never
up. You've risen up through the ranks. I think it's
but you know, it's taking time. Fantastic. But yeah, yours was a conscious choice.
Yeah,
and I think that empowers you.
The person on the other end of the phone, rather than
yeah.
telling them why they should advertise in Cooler Innovation magazine.
Oh, do you remember? Oh, the Cooler Innovation. Is that still going, the Cooler Innovation?
Oh, I mean, I hope it is. I mean, it's a very niche industry, and I did get quite expert on technicalities, on the technical reasons behind why you'd either have one, a plumbed-in water cooler, or one with a bottle on top, and which countries prefer which and why.
Do you know what? We've all had those jobs, though. We've all had those jobs. I mean, do you remember when we lived together and I was working at Vodafone?
Yeah. Oh, it was Vodafone, not Virgin.
Well, I did work at Virgin afterwards, but I worked for Vodafone selling phones, so on the shop floor selling in their bath store. Yeah. I don't know how I survived that job. It's just a complete nightmare. But I think we all have them. We all have those jobs that we look back, and actually some of them are game changers, I would say. Yeah. And throughout, you know, your career, I think there are times where you consciously choose that this isn't the right path for you. And for me, I had almost a moment of clarity when leaving Lloyds Banking Group, it was at the time. I'd been there 5 years. I'd just come back off maternity leave. And I think just something just snapped in me, I think, and just went, you know what, I don't think this is the right career for me. I don't want to be pushing people down this path of debt anymore. I want to do something more sustainable and more needy and more valuable, I suppose, to the community. And so I made the conscious choice myself to leave. And I think that was possibly one of the most empowering sensations I think I've ever felt from being a woman in business. Just to be like, no, this isn't right. And not to have to worry about actually the consequences of that, because actually you know in your heart that what you're doing is for the best. And I think that's what people need to do enough. I know a lot of people that are stuck in jobs that they hate. Any job there that makes you cry is not a good sign, basically. That's my mantra for, for life going like forward. Yeah, if you feel like crying in a job, it's really not right. You know, I'm not one for quitting or giving up, and I'll always try and bend and move things. But yeah, I think it's super interesting to follow your gut instincts on it.
Yeah, evolving.
Yeah, you have as well.
Really inspiring.
From water coolers and...
water coolers to
magazine school. Space wasn't there or something.
Council work. And that's why I started getting interested in AI, though, because for the work I do at Connecting Cambridgeshire, it's about smart projects. It's about, you know, putting signals on or sensors on traffic signals, and how can you predict how people are going to move around the streets, you know, are people going to cross the road, where is the traffic going to go if you close this road or do that. And it's all that sort of automation, all that predicting, and it's suddenly it's like, oh, that's AI. And then suddly everyone's talking about AI, and it's that's interesting, and I just want to learn. That's the thing. This is the start
It's always a learning journey, I think. And I think if you stop learning, then suddenly everything becomes very boring, doesn't it? And that's the beauty, I think, of digital marketing, the evolution of it.
Yeah.
I mean, and also data. I mean, as you're saying, you can start mapping people's journeys, what they take. And data is becoming more available and more readily available to everybody in every business, you know, with GA4 coming in and stuff like that. I mean, it's just, you've got all at your fingertips to be able to really personalize those customer journeys through. It's just, I'm with you. I think, and that's what empowers me about AI. I mean, there are dark sides to AI, which we know about, which we won't dwell on. Deep fakes, you know, and even like the augmented reality of sort of photos just in general. So the stuff that my daughter's seeing, as we were talking about, these uber filtered people, are they even real? I'm not sure, but it's so difficult to tell. And it's so difficult to tell her that's not a real person. You can't judge yourself.
Why is it there? Why are we aspiring to it anyway? So then it's education, isn't it? I mean, that's the scary side. That scares.
Yeah, it does. And there's dark things, you know. I was reading on the BBC News the other day about somebody using the dark web to create terrible pictures of children, you know. And there's some horrible things out there. But, you know, equally, then you read on the flip side how AI has, in the medical industry, has helped, you know, find different predictors that are missed by the naked eye. And
yeah, so that's the good. And it, what was that? Someone the other day said, oh, guns don't, well, it's that classic, isn't it? Guns don't kill people, people do. And it's like AI is a tool and, you know, you need to use it for good.
Yeah, yeah. And, you
but
know,
you're always going to get the awful people in the world.
Yeah, you will. You will. But there is so much, there's so much that it can do. I mean, I know that, I just think in general, because obviously I work with a lot of industries and a lot of companies, but I think there's a lot of nervousness around some of the creative industries about using AI that they feel like it might impinge on their creativity. So, yeah.
But like you said at the beginning, it can make you more creative. You still need that human element, the human person.
If you work with it, I think. So yeah. I was looking up, I read quite a lot, I still read avidly. So I was looking up about the K-pops in Korea have started using AI to basically construct some of their music videos and stuff like that. And there's been a bit of an outcry about whether that's the right thing to do or not from a creative artist point of view. But they said exactly the same thing. They are trying to sort of collaboratively work with AI to produce the very best music lyrics videos, because they all also use it for lyrics, because they're churning out K-pop or churning out albums which usually take 2 years to create in 9 months, because the need and the hunger for their music is so great. Every 9 months they're churning out a new album, which, you know, I know we used to have to wait years between the Spice Girls albums, didn't
God,
we?
I know, yeah. And then probably be the sat there trying to record it from the radio and
playing for press record.
Still got my Spice Girls ID card somewhere.
How are you? So have I. And I have the ring. Do you remember the ring?
Girl power.
So yeah, I mean the uses of AI are amazing, and what can be done with it. And I mean, also AI, as we know, is a massively hot topic right now. Everybody wants to be talking about AI, don't they, and use it in some way, because they know that it will give them the kudos, as a, sort of from a commercial point of view, from their company's ratings and their brand kudos. But I was reading a statistic the other day that says something like 40% of companies that start up under the guise of AI startups don't actually use AI at all in any sense.
Wow.
And because of that lack of knowledge and lack of understanding of what they are, they find it very then difficult to market themselves, because they've pitched themselves out as an AI product, but then they haven't got the backup for actually using AI in its proper sense to do it.
That's,
I mean, there's
crazy.
Very few, I think, companies now that will actually use AI in its proper true form. That a lot of companies will pinch bits of AI from, you know, ChatGPT or, you know, various other different industries that they've got out there. So yeah, it's, but everybody wants to talk about it, and if you're not talking about it, then you're not going to get the leads, the sales, the commercial benefit from it. And that's, it's like a
vicious circle. That's what you've done. You've educated yourself about using it, so then you can go to businesses and you can advise people, because you'd say know that you use AI. I think that's the other thing, being upfront, saying you are using it because you know how to use it, and there's the benefit. You know, you can become an expert.
I think from a solopreneur, a point of view as well, it's something that you need to be careful of writing into contracts that you sign. Because unless you're on a closed AI system, I think we talked a bit about this before, you have to bear in mind that anything that you're running through ChatGPT or any other AI tool that you've got there, the AI system and servers that sit behind are learning from that. So it can be quite, well, it has two, it can be quite sort of positive, but it can be quite detrimental, I think, as well. So it can be detrimental if you start putting like customer data through that. You should never be putting
anything. I know, because you mentioned this to me and I was like, oh my God, I hadn't even thought about that.
And, you know, there's a lot of closed network industries, like the, you know, the military, banking, people like that need to be hyper aware of people using ChatGPT to start running comms or whatever they're doing through it.
And top secret information out there.
And those types of industries do tend to try and build their own on-site sort of firewalled in sort of own AI systems, which are out there. Or you can buy one box on the shelf. But I think it can be good. So I've had a I've been working with a client who was, struggling a little bit with leads, and so I came in, we worked on the SEO and various so other, different tools that we've got out there. And because I was running through stuff using their company name and talking about what they did and things like that, the system in the background was learning it, and they actually started getting me some leads through that. Because then when the other people are then searching for whoever it is you're working for and the benefits and the requirements that they have, your company will then pop up on it. So
Wow.
it can be quite a positive thing. So if you
Yeah.
start talking about it and using it and using it on behalf of a company, whatever, it can actually be really positive. And from a sales and marketing perspective, it can be manipulated quite well for that. Obviously, you don't want to be putting anything personal, secure data through it, but if you want to build awareness of, say, a top or be in a competitive environment with, say, test automation software, then you want to be part of that voice. You want to be part of those people that are searching for different products, and you want your company to be ranked within those people that are writing blogs or even just talking about it or getting snippets, and be part of that comparison and that top level that talk about it. So there are some positives about it.
There's lots of positives. Yeah, obviously I've
Yeah.
learned something from you today. So that's yeah. Well,
Excellent.
I'm sure I learn from you quite a lot.
Every day's a learning day, I like to think.
Is. Every day is a school day. So if I who would you who'd be a good future guest for me to have on? Is there anyone that you'd like to kind of learn from, or what sort of avenue do you think I should be going down with AI
Did you get
to
Stephen
get sort of
Bartlett, or was he
experts
too
in?
big?
Pardon?
Did you get Stephen Bartlett on here? Do you think he's a bit too big?
Well, it's women with AI, so I was mainly going for like the women,
Oh,
but
do you think so? I think you should
well,
open it
I don't know. I
up.
mean, we did say at the beginning I'd speak to men and women, so it'd be good, maybe good to get some different
Viewpoints on it.
because I'm all about the bias and it how
I
are women
think
impacted like that.
from my perspective, I think it is difficult to find women that are solely in AI. We scurry around in the background, but I can definitely look up some women that I know definitely use it. So there's a lady that I know that is chief of sort of women in gaming. So gaming is an industry vertical that we don't really hear about very much, and it's highly creative and quite difficult to get into. So, there are lots of people that are out there doing their own thing in their own different, I suppose, silos, but you just need to try and find them and eke them out. But she's a real ambassador. I'll send you her name on for that. But
And where can people find you, Anna? What's the best way to get in touch?
well, the best way is to find me on LinkedIn, to be honest, is where I'm most prolific. As you can find my website as well, greenwallmarketing.com.
We'll put links to that.
But yeah, LinkedIn, just Anna Mountford. You can't miss me. I think
Brilliant.
that's the key to it. But I know, anyway,
Cool.
getting back to your question, I do know loads of men in AI, but
Okay. Well,
isn't that the
we
sadness?
can pick that up after this.
The sadness of it all. Not enough women talking about it.
That's what I want to change, that women are talking about it and using it and making it better.
And I just say to any women out there, that's juggling the load of everything that we do as women, that it's never too late to learn. There's some amazing courses out there on AI. You can pick up a few free ones. I mean, as they said, you could learn a lot of stuff for free on the internet through AI, probably
Brilliant. I love
through
it, Anna. That's
ChatGPT.
great advice. I love it. Fantastic. Thank you so much,
It's
Anna
been a real
Mountford.
pleasure, Joe, and long may we live another 25 years chattering around the next technology that will come on our horizons.
And see how your daughter's using it. My
Yeah,
nieces.
scary. She'll be
Inspire
teaching
them.
me.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. See you soon.
Bye. Bye.